It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from CarEdge for Monday, April 15th, IRS Day, ladies and gentlemen. Your taxes are due, and your hosts today are, well, me, Ray, and the kid that owns one T-shirt, Zach. How are you today? You're wearing a different T-shirt today.
We're going to be talking Tesla in just a moment. Before we do, CarEdge.com. My dad and I started this company 4 years ago. No dealers, no hassle, serious savings. If we can help you out with anything related to buying, owning, selling, protecting, whatever it is, go check out CarEdge.com. I know Pops is working on updated email templates, which are 100% free. Google search CarEdge email templates. We'll have those for you soon. Dad, the big story this morning comes by way of the automaker Tesla. Tesla's laying off more than 10% of their global workforce. This comes on the heels of other automakers, the legacy automakers, having to make similar decisions recently, both on the production lines and in the corporate offices. We are seeing an auto industry and an auto market that is shifting rapidly, man. Tesla laying off more than 10% or about 10% of their staff. Are you shocked by this, or is the headline getting outplayed at this point?
Well, I think it's catching everybody by surprise to a certain degree. Tesla had been the not to make a reference to SpaceX, but like a rocket ship in the auto industry. And it was changing the landscape as we knew it with its consumer to direct sales system. You have to order the car. Now, suddenly, there's plenty of cars that they have that they're trying to get rid of. Sales, even though they're up, are up less than what everybody had expected. Costs are up. And so for Tesla to say, we're going to lay off 10% of our global workforce, a little bit more than 14,000 people, I think that's a pretty big deal. And then when you combine that with other manufacturers saying, we're going to delay some of our investments in battery electric vehicles and move them more towards hybrids, which was Ford first. And then, lo and behold, Kia just came out and said they're going to do the same thing. So maybe the bloom has kind of fallen off that Tesla rose at the moment. And you know, we're in for some rocky times in this march to battery electric vehicles.
I don't think it's, you and I get into this all the time. I do not think it's about battery electric vehicles. It's just about cars, man. I don't think it matters because Stellantis, this came out Friday night, that another 200 supplemental workers in Detroit were laid off. Okay. And that's got absolutely nothing to do with battery electric vehicles. Ford, with all of their various layoffs and production cuts this year, some of the production cuts are explicitly battery electric vehicles. But this is just, I hate to say it, a little bit of the doom and gloom becoming reality. What goes up must come down. These automakers were making money hand over fist when they did not have a ton of inventory. Their dealer partners were doing the same. And now, and obviously Tesla's different in that regard, they sell direct to consumer. And now they're all looking at each other saying, oh, crap, the sales are drying up. I think that's what I'm seeing, Dad. And obviously EV sales, we can talk about that. We can talk about EV prices and how they're plummeting. But like, this is just an auto industry problem at this point. And, you know, EV is at the intersection of that in a lot of ways. But I don't think it's the only culprit.
Well, I'm not suggesting, if I was suggesting that it's the only culprit, I apologize. I think it's a leading culprit. I don't think it's the only culprit. I mean, I believe the other culprits in this are during the chip shortage and during COVID, when the manufacturers made this conscious decision that all they were going to build were high profit margin, high priced vehicles, and people bought them because those were the only vehicles available, to now find out that, well, that's a shrinking market as well, and they have to go back to producing lower profit margin, lower priced vehicles. So I think there's many culprits here, but I think it's, you know, and you can play on shocking because it's electric vehicles and the shock you get from that. But it is shocking that the juggernaut known as Tesla has found itself in a position where they produced 46,000 more vehicles than they had sold in the last quarter, that they're struggling to a degree in China, and that they now have to find cost savings and have to reduce their global workforce by 10% or more. That's a staggering admission that the auto industry is in a great deal of flux for any number of reasons. And it has nothing to do with the flux capacitor.
The auto industry debt, I think, is in for a rocky next couple of years. I mean, that's becoming more and more apparent. You know, I know Tesla and Jeep are very, very, very different brands, but I think they're struggling from some of the same problems. Jeep CEO, North American CEO, coming out saying, hey, we're going to reverse our U.S. I mean, there are some legacy automakers, Dad, that might not make it. I'm going to go that far. They might not make it. Brands that might not make it. Tesla, obviously, to be very clear, is not in that camp. They're laying off 10% of their workforce. They'll be fine. They'll get through it. They're going to continue to grow their business. But there are other brands that are struggling from prices being too high, customers not wanting to buy their vehicles. Generally, you could just call it an oversupply and a lack of demand. Tesla's starting to get a little bit of that. And some of those smaller automakers, I can't believe I'm saying, you know, a legacy automaker like Jeep smaller than Tesla, but it materially is, Jeep's struggling, man. So there are brands that might not make it. And I think that's kind of demonstrates the scale that we're operating at here. Like, this industry is in for a wake-up call.
Well, especially here in America, I think. It's difficult when all of your legacy manufacturers here in the United States decided to go all in on overpriced, high profit margin vehicles. And that was clearly a decision they made. You know, it wasn't like, well, we need to produce a certain percentage of the lower price. It was this, we're going all in on the expensive stuff.
Do you remember, I'll ask you and I'll ask the chat, how much did Jeep prices go up over the past 5 years? Guesses in the chat, 10%, 8%, 100%. Do you remember, Pops?
It was 61%, if I remember correctly.
Put some guesses in the chat, but 61% sounds pretty on the money. Yeah, exactly. You're right, man.
So you can't, and what they did is they took away their inexpensive entry-level vehicles. So you can't do that and expect your business to continue to grow. In 2018, Jeep sold 973,000 Jeeps. Okay? Last year, they sold, what, 670,000 Jeeps? The idea behind this is to not go backwards. It's to go forward. And one of the ways you can ensure that you're going to go backwards is to take away your entry-level vehicles that get people into your brand to begin with. And you can't take away popular options like the Cherokee.
So how do you rationalize then what's going on at Tesla? Because they have been price leaders for a long time. We're going to talk about it. EV depreciation is off the charts. You bought a brand new electric vehicle 12, 18 months ago. Yeah. You have a tremendous amount of negative equity. And a lot of that has been driven by Tesla being aggressive on price. So you can't make the same claim for Tesla. Jeep, pretty clear. They raised their prices. They got rid of entry-level options. It's kind of been the opposite strategy for Tesla. And if I'm not mistaken, that was Musk's like master plan, was starting with a high content, high performance, a limited production run roadster vehicle, and then ultimately was to try and get the Model 3, something that anyone could afford. And how, you know, that being said, they're still cutting 10% of their workforce. I mean, that's not a good sign.
Well, if it doesn't scare those in the industry, I don't know what will. If it's not a wake-up call for everybody else in the industry, I don't know what is. If you don't hear the alarm bells going off, then apparently you're not wearing a high-quality hearing aid like I am.
Today's show is sponsored to you by...
by hearing aids of any kind. It's a situation where, you know, everybody, if I may for a second, everything you read is, Well, what will really spur the EV revolution are cheap EVs. Okay. BS. And I call BS on that because literally the Model 3 is pretty inexpensive. I mean, they start in the 30,000 the upper 30s. And then if you qualify for the federal tax credit, and not everybody does, but if you qualify, well, I mean, my God, it's an electric vehicle with low maintenance costs and low fuel costs that you can end up getting in the mid 30s. So if you're going to sit here and tell me, oh, the thing that's really going to push electric vehicles is once somebody comes up with an affordable $25,000 electric vehicle, that's not what's going to move the needle. It's not.
I mean, you can even make a bit of a case, again, take powertrain out of the mix. Nissan has incredibly cheap options out there, and they have an inventory surplus like no other. We'll spend some time on the car search looking at some market day supply data in just a second here. It kind of tarnishes our argument of an affordability crisis. I hate to say it, but the fact that Nissan and Tesla with the Model 3 have an oversupply, it dampens our argument that all of this is driven by price.
No, I disagree with you. And the reason I disagree with you is people will buy a quality inexpensive car, but they don't want to buy a piece of crap inexpensive car that has transmission issues and has had transmission issues for years now. Okay? There are others out there that still produce relatively inexpensive cars, and they're selling well. So now the concept of, well, the Model 3 is proof that people don't want inexpensive cars. No, people don't want inexpensive EVs is what that's proof of.
Can we test it really quick, Dad? I haven't done this. This is me doing it live. Y'all know I love doing this. I'm going to go to caredge.com. I'm going to go to the car search. We do not have market day supply data for new Teslas. We don't have that because our data set requires inventory, these 5 million plus vehicles showing up on a dealer lot. We do have used Teslas, Dad. We've got 15,000 of them nationwide that we are tracking. I want to put what you just said to the test. Let's see what the market day supply is for a Tesla Model 3, of which there are almost half of the used Teslas out there are Model 3s. Let's see what they're selling for. Let's see what the day's supply is. We'll start here in California.
You can see what they're asking for them. You can't tell from this what they're actually selling them for.
No, of course, but let's look at market day supply. Sure. So you've got a 2022 base. Let's look at that. Does that sound good?
Sure. It would almost encourage me to go out and get one.
This dealer's had this one for 25 days. Look at that, Dad. This is in LA. I want to be clear. The first one we're looking at here is in LA. So for this type of vehicle, which was a Model 3 base, a 2022 Model 3 base, there is a 28 days supply in Southern California. There are 127 of these 2022 Tesla Model 3 base rear wheel drives for sale within 100 miles of 90301.
Yes.
And 201 have sold in the last 45 days. A 28 day supply is aggressively low, Dad. That kind of disproves a little bit what you were saying, doesn't it?
Well, wait a second. You're talking about Southern California. You're talking about a state that is the EV capital of the United States of America. You're talking about a state where I believe at a certain point in time last year or early this year that EVs, and it might have been Tesla EVs, represented like 50% of all vehicles purchased in California. So nothing against California, but do a different state.
Toss some zip codes out to us, folks. Let's look at market conditions nationwide. There's a couple folks here hanging out with us. Give us some zip codes and let's.
I don't know what zip codes say in North Carolina, but
I think we're going to Florida. Let's go to Florida.
Let's go to Florida. Okay.
What's that zip code, Dad? Would you mind reading it to me?
It's 33063.
All right, let's see. It's loading. Let me get that off the screen. All right, so we've got another one. This is a 2018. So let's do a 2022. This is a long range. Let's look for a base. 2021 base. You want to do a 2020?
Sure.
Here we go. 2022 base, just like the one we were looking at.
Okay. And this one's $1,000 less than the other one.
The Steelers had it for 133 days.
Yeah.
34-day supply.
I still don't. I mean, but he's had it for 134 days.
Nationwide Model Y market day supply is at 27, Model 3 at 33 for used only. That's some good data from Justin there. Justin's on the Car Edge team. Check out caredge.com/guides to see all his work.
I would, what's really interesting to find out would be, regardless of what they're asking for, what are they actually selling it for?
All right,
If I'm not mistaken, isn't there some type of federal tax credit on a pre-owned if it's under 25 grand?
I think so.
Of what, $3,750 or something like that? So
sounds about right.
If that's the case, so there's a $21,000 2022 Tesla 3 base, okay, that should qualify for $3,750 in federal tax credits. That takes it down to 17 and change.
All right, man.
That's a pretty inexpensive car.
Here we are. In Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
Looks like Hertz is selling this one. It's 86 days on their lot.
Yes.
Higher day supply, 51 days supply. Way smaller sample size, right?
Yeah.
16 for sale within 100-mile radius of Cincinnati. Only 14 have sold. But what I want to look at, Dad, let's look at...
And if I may, Cincinnati was one of our favorite towns to go to when we went to a Cardinals game away.
So there you go. Look at that price history there. It hasn't really changed. So to your point of like, what are they actually selling for?
It's sitting on the lot for how long? When the average day supply is 33 days for Model 3s, used Model 3s, this one's been sitting on the lot for almost three times that amount of time. So maybe, just maybe, even though Hertz is like aggressively trying to get rid of their Teslas, maybe they're not as aggressively trying to get rid of them as they need to be. Maybe a 70,000-mile 2022 Tesla Model 3 for $23,980 is not reasonably priced. When we found one in Florida with 30,000 miles less for $2,000 less, or almost $3,000 less. So
yeah,
it depends on, like anything, any other car when you're trying to sell, it depends on how aggressive you are in actually trying to sell the damn thing.
Definitely.
But you can tell from these numbers that there are some inexpensive, really inexpensive EVs available out there for those who might want to buy them.
And as new EV prices continue to go down, which again, I have some data on that. We're going to come to the chat here in just a moment. Before we do, I want to share something that I am incredibly proud of. When you are on the Car Edge car search,
yes,
if there are dealer reviews, they will show up on a particular vehicle, which I absolutely love. So I really encourage everyone, you know, use the Car Edge car search, get the data. Be knowledgeable when you head into
the dealership. Can I ask you a question? Just, you know, because you're promoting the Car Edge car search. How much do we charge people to use that?
Car search is free. There's an insight product that you can pay for that gets you extra data and information, but that's the only paid part.
Okay. So we make nothing for people to be able to search on there for free, correct?
Correct.
Is there a cost associated for us in being able to produce that data?
Of course there's cost, yeah.
Oh, I was just.
All right, I want to share this data. Thanks for making the point. I want to share this data on EV prices, and then we will come to the chat. You can see the headline right here. EV prices actually increased modestly in March. So the average EV price is $54,000 for a new one. So EV prices have actually stabilized a little bit. That being said, for the quarter, EV prices were down significantly because of Tesla's price cuts. The market's general EV price increased this month, partly due to increased prices for the Model 3. Transaction prices for the Model 3 last month at $46,169 were lower year over year by 5.6%, but up 6.7%. month over month. So interesting what's going on in Tesla land. Can we come to the chat tab? We've had an incredible number of thoughtful contributions.
We should indeed.
From Roostifer. Thank you, Roostifer, for the contribution. I'm about to trade in a 2019 Subaru Outback with 34,000 miles on it. How are Subarus holding their trade value at the moment?
I think pretty damn well. So I would run that through our sell car feature and see what kind of cash offers you can get for that vehicle in your market area, just so you have something to go by. But I would think an extremely low mileage, 34,000 mile 2019 Outback, is going to bring all the money. It should bring all the money. Yes.
I think so too. Yeah. Google search trade-in space Car Edge, and our guide for how to trade your vehicle in for the most money possible is out there in caredge.com/sell to get those cash offers like Pops was talking about. We've got from Fly Chomper Fly.
Thank you, Fly Chomper Fly.
Problem is that we're not convinced it's truly green to offset the inconvenience. The hybrid is a clear money saver without the hard sacrifice. We've looked at the data over and over and over again. Hybrids are by far the fastest growing segment and also the cheapest payment. You can actually get the cheapest, like the most car for your money on a hybrid powertrain versus electric versus internal combustion engine. So hybrid definitely in Toyota sales and Ford's new shift back to hybrid and Kia's new shift back. Like every for the near term, it seems, everyone's looking towards hybrid as the powertrain of choice.
Because it's probably not as expensive to produce as a full battery electric, and there seems to be a greater acceptance of that. I've talked about it incessantly that we need a bridge. If we expect the American public to go full battery electric from ICE, then you need a bridge to get them there. And that bridge, in my opinion, has always been and will continue to be hybrids. It's very difficult to get the vast majority of Americans to give up an internal combustion engine vehicle and go directly to an EV. And the other reason for that, in my opinion, is that the infrastructure for being able to charge these vehicles has to be greater than the need at the time that the people move to battery electric. You can find a gas station on almost every damn corner. What you can't find on almost every damn corner is a charging facility with charging stations that actually work.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Tesla's actually way in front on that.
They are, but there's so many others that are not.
A little bit of that, yeah. Yes. Definitely. All right, Pops Charles here. Thank you, Charles. Can you look up VIN area code and give your opinion? Charles, we absolutely can. Let me get over here. Bear with me, Pops. I'm going to need you to tell me the VIN.
The VIN is 1C6JJTBG4NL.
Whoa, is that M or N?
N as in Nancy. L 182389.
Thank you, sir.
And the area code is 28607.
Wow. We've got a 2022 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon.
Yeah.
17,000 miles on it. They've had this as a used car. Holy cow, man. Let that sink in.
Yeah, for 9 months, yeah.
For 9 months. First thing I'm looking at, so we're saying 5% discount. First thing I'm looking at, they supply is quite low, which I'm not too surprised. There can't be that many used 2022 Jeep Gladiator Rubicons out there in that area. First thing I'm looking at, price history. What? That makes no sense, man. So they've come down a little bit on price.
The first thing I'm looking at?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Is I'm looking at what can you get a brand new one for? With all the various and assorted discounts that have been applied to a brand new one. Because we were seeing Rubicons with $15,000-$18,000 off? The brand
new
one?
Let's look. So we're talking about Jeep Gladiator, and then what was that zip code that you
I don't remember. 28607. 28607.
28607. Okay, so now we're doing, so we're in North Carolina, and we were looking for, what was it, a 2022? Oh, no, we were looking for a new one now.
Yes.
So there's 21,000 new ones out there, and it was a Rubicon. Oh, man, they do look expensive, that 64 grand.
Yeah, but what can you get off on one? Which I think is a lot.
Yeah, we're talking a dealer discount of 11.5%. And then I think on top of that, there's like either 10 or 15% coming from the OEM. So you're down to, what would that be? Like 13 grand off. So you're still at $49,000.
Yeah, you're getting a 2 year older vehicle with no miles on it.
Versus the used one, that would be at $38,000.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you're going new? I'm doing PPI on the used one and I'm negotiating and seeing what happens.
See what you can do.
Charles, let us know what you end up doing on that front. But new certainly wouldn't be a bad option. From Fly Chopper Fly, thank you. Thank you. You never talk about or take into account apartment people who cannot charge.
I always talk about that, Fly Chopper Fly. You've been around here long enough to know that I talk about being in a condo and having no place to charge, which is one of the multitude of reasons why I haven't switched over to an electric vehicle. And when you talk about major metropolitan areas that are nothing but row homes and condos and no place to charge, I think there are so many issues that are going to be associated with trying to get the vast majority of Americans to switch over to battery electric vehicles. It's just, in many cases, it's just not a real comfortable possibility. It's not a convenient possibility.
We've got here from Bradley. Thank you, Bradley. I am almost positive that the Tesla price that is advertised includes the rebate and they hope you qualify for it. We saw that recently on used Tesla prices. We've seen that gamesmanship on that front. So definitely, Bradley, that is something for shoppers out there to be cognizant of. The FTC cars rule can't pass soon enough. But from Patrick, thank you, Patrick. In Pennsylvania, you get a state rebate cash and a federal tax credit. If you can get one for base, is about $38,000 minus state rebate minus federal tax credit. New is about $29,000. Just something to consider. That's incredible.
Okay, so when you look at that, you can't tell me that that's not affordable for most people. So why aren't they flying off the shelf in Pennsylvania? Maybe because it's not convenient to charge the damn thing. I don't know. I think it's too big of an... I think there were enough early adopters to fuel this growth. And now it's harder to get people to buy in.
To be clear, it's the same thing we're seeing with Nissan. I think Nissan and Tesla, at least the Model 3, are like kind of twins of one another right now in many ways. Their sales are okay. They're not great and inventories are growing and their price points are affordable. And it kind of, to a degree, debunks the affordability issue. Yeah. However, obviously we talked about, you know, the various other challenges. Chloepo, good to see you, Chloepo. Thank you. The issue with electric vehicles is still the charging infrastructure and battery range. Also, insurance is insane. What's the word on the live event? Chloepo, don't put me on the spot, man. Don't put me on the spot. We will hopefully this year do some sort of live event, but I've got can't make any promises. Insurance is insane across the board. Is insurance more for electric vehicles?
It depends on the insurance company. Justice, when he got his used Model 3, his insurance company was outrageous. So he switched over to the Tesla auto insurance.
Yeah.
And his insurance was less on the Model 3 than it was on his previous vehicle. So it depends on the insurance company, and I guess the information you allow the insurance company to collect on you. There it is from Justice. My insurance went down when I went to the Model 3. So it depends. It's you know, insurance is just like getting a new car. You have to shop for the best price. It's not that hard.
Matthew Hoskins, thank you for being here. Too bad Volkswagen killed diesel for all. Way better than hybrid. Torque and range are insane. the Euro S450D all-wheel drive, 40 miles per gallon, 155 mile an hour top speed, 0 to 60 in under 5 seconds. Dieselgate really did stop any hopes of a diesel future, that's for sure.
Well, that's because all the manufacturers were lying.
What's new? We've got here from Trippy Cam. Trippy, thanks for being here with us. Just bought a 2024 Tesla Model Y with 1,000 miles for $38,000 out the door. Here you go. More examples of affordable price points from Tesla, and I love it. With recent full self-driving dropping to $99 a month as well, it's well worth it. Thanks for sharing your experience, Trippy. Yeah, go for it, Pops.
Do you have to pay a large upfront fee first to then be able to get the FSD at $99 a month?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, nope. I've read some things that say you do, and I've read some things that say you don't. If you do, let me refer. If you don't, then the people who have paid big money up front to do it, they got to be feeling real good about the situation, knowing that they can now get it for $99 a month.
We've got from CB here. We'll check the chat in just a minute. Hey, guys, I'm looking at a 2019 or newer Mustang GT with the performance package 1 or 2, PP1 and PP2. And I think adding a filter specific to this would make the search much easier. Thanks. Thank you for sharing that, CB. The data, if anyone ever wants to geek out about this, or maybe I'll post a video on my personal YouTube channel, data quality in the auto industry sucks. Like, sucks. Now that we have direct data feeds into dealer inventory feeds, like, it still sucks. I don't know how anything gets done in this industry, to be honest, because the quality of the data is so suspect. So CB, unfortunately, I don't think we have a roadmap to be able to solve for that anytime soon. But you're heard and understood, and hopefully we can still help you as you're navigating that 2019 or newer Mustang GT purchase. I'm going to go to the chat in just a second, but off of the EV topic from Dustin Echoes, thoughts on the new Ford Expedition. I was picked up in one in an Uber last week, Dad.
A new one?
A relatively new one, not brand new one, but I don't know. It was a Ford.
Well, I think, but I are they coming out with an updated new Expedition, perhaps? I don't know. I don't know enough about them to share any thoughts, so I apologize.
And we've got there is no upfront payment. So yeah, think about the people. What was it? It was like 12 grand, I think.
$12,000 or $15,000. Yeah. So you can get it for $99 a month. But are there varying degrees of how much you have to pay a month depending on the different degrees of full self-driving? Answer that question for me, Justice, because I believe...
That's a hell of a statement. Different degrees of full self-driving.
Well, no, I believe there are, and at different monthly costs.
We'll keep going here until we get an answer on that from Speakeasy.
Yes. Thank you, Speakeasy.
Toyota Camry 2024 LE lease with $3,000 down at $249 a month for 36 months. Is it a good deal? Bay Area, California.
Sounds like it. I mean, that's pretty damn cheap for, I know a Camry LE is the lower end Camry, but still a 36 month lease at $249 a month. Yeah. You know, if it were me, I might ask, what would it be without the $3,000 down and keep the $3,000 in the bank? Because that $3,000, if you didn't put that down, I'm guessing that's going to change the payment by about $90. So that would put you at $339 a month with no money out of pocket. And just think what you could do with that $3,000 if you run into something that you can't live without. You could actually whip out your credit card and buy it.
And we have all sorts of guides on how to lease a vehicle, negotiate a car lease, all that fun stuff on CarEdge.com. No, Pumps, it's just $99 for FSD.
Wow. Okay. I swear I read something somewhere that said there's like FSD 2, FSD 3, and FSD 4. And so I don't know. What do I know?
Apple De La Fuente, thank you for the kind contribution. I'm trading in my 2016 Audi Q3 for a 2019 Toyota Tundra Platinum, only 32,000 miles, but out of bugs for is 45,000 and getting 11K for my Audi sounds good. Love you guys. Out the door price, I'm thinking, is 45,000 on the Toyota Tundra. That's what I'm thinking this is saying.
I don't know. Doesn't that seem like a lot of money for a 2019 Tundra?
Yeah, it does. The new Tundras, I think, are going like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 under MSRP. Different price point probably still, but I don't know. Maybe I'd be looking at a new one. Tundras are the most oversupplied Toyota product right now.
And probably offer the biggest discounts right now on Toyota.
So this seems like a high price, Apple De La Fuente. Make sure you're cross-shopping that with some other options. And then for the Audi, 11K sounds pretty good. We don't know how many miles are on it or anything like that, but I would be plugging that into caredge.com/sell and then using the Black Book values as well to negotiate your trade-in.
Yes.
Keep us posted, Apple. From Grease Belly Garage, I can't even keep my Makita drill batteries charged correctly. I'm not about to drive on a battery. I think there are a lot of people that think just like you, Grease Belly, so we appreciate your perspective. Yeah. We have our favorite segment of the show coming up in just a second, but before we do, a friendly reminder, caredge.com. If we can help you out with anything, we got the car search, the car buying service, our insights, sell tool, protection plans, all of our free resources are under resources up here in the top right. And yes, my dad and I did start this company 4 years ago. Thrilled to be able to help in whatever way we can. Pops, do you mind hitting us with an ad lib?
Really? You gotta be kidding me.
Car dealers are creative folk. Justice on our team sent this over to me. Dad, this is from AutoNation Honda in California. Let's break down this OTD quote.
Yes.
MSRP, $35,855. There's about a 10% discount of $3,655. We've got an appearance package, a dent protection package, Pro Pack, and then we have NorCal.
What the hell is NorCal?
Northern California, baby. Just here's a $500 fee for being in. Like, I have never seen that before.
Do they have a different fee for SoCal and SenCal? Are certain areas a higher fee than other areas or a lower fee than, well, I mean, what the hell is, what the, God, you know, you have heard me say so many times that people in the car business are some of the most creative people on the planet and the stuff that they come up. I mean, yeah, like there was that dealer in Florida. We did a video on it years ago about their Florida friends and family fee. I don't have any friends in Florida. I don't have any family in Florida. I haven't even made the mistake of going to Northern California quite some. Why should I have to pay extra for that? What the hell is wrong with dealers? And AutoNation is the second largest auto dealer group in the country. Okay. And just be straight up with people. Cut out all the crap and just be straight up. I mean, why do we make it so damn hard? Why? I'm done.
Toyota. Grand Highlander, highly in-demand vehicle. Dad, we have, at the port, 10% of the freaking MSRP being added as distributor-installed packages and accessories, man. Wow. It is egregious. So for those of you that listen to the podcast, we're looking at a $51,410 MSRP Toyota Grand Highlander, and this is in the state of Texas, so Southeast Toyota Distributors.
This would be Gulf States,
excuse me. Yeah. Yep. And you've got $4,940 in distributor installed packages and accessories. That's on top of the $1,950 factory installed packages and accessories. And then obviously your $1,500 processing and handling fee. Toyota getting up there with the processing fees, man, the delivery fees. That's up there.
They listed as a delivery processing and handling fee. It's their freight charge. It's the transportation charge. They're just calling it something different.
I know, that's high for them. $1,500 is starting to creep into Ford and Ram and Chevy territory.
Oh no, they got a ways to go to get up to those. Yeah. But to think that you start with a base price of $51,400 and you end up at $205 below $60,000 is, come on. I get that that Gulf States Toyota and Southeast Toyota, they have, those distributors have the best money-making business in America.
It's okay? It's a money-printing machine.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. They just have printing presses that print out money all flipping day long, okay? Because they take the vehicle as it comes in from Toyota, and then they add whatever crap they want to add. They charge the dealer for it. The dealer's paying them a profit for it. And then the dealer gets to charge the customer the retail price for it. It is just, you know, I guess I would have liked to have been a Toyota distributor at some point in my life. I'd really be retired. We've done
videos, blog posts. It's a hoot, man. It's on the family too, Jam and A. It's a hoot. Chloepo. Thank you, Chloepo. Four major providers wouldn't insure a Subaru Solterra.
Wow. Yeah.
That's kind of fascinating.
That is.
Thanks for sharing that. That's probably because their VIN decoder couldn't decode what a Subaru
is. What the hell it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
probably what it was.
But they probably insure the Toyota BZ4X, which is the same damn vehicle.
From Oleg, man, do you remember when the VZ4X, the tires fell off, the wheels fell off?
Yeah. Forget the tire. The tire was still attached to the wheel, which was still attached to the axle that fell off.
But the axle fell off. From Oleg, thank you. Really like the Mercedes GLS, but it's in a different city. Is it possible to set up a remote independent pre-purchase inspection and a reasonably priced delivery to my town? 100%. Google search pre-purchase inspection Car Edge. We've got a guide on how to do a pre-purchase inspection. The high level is try and see if there's a local Mercedes dealer that you can have the vehicle taken to get the pre-purchase inspection done there. If not, there are services that'll come and do that. And then and as far as transportation, we transport 100 plus cars every single month for our customers. So it's definitely doable. We have some guides on transporting as well. And use the community forum, caredge.com/community. Oleg.
Absolutely.
You can definitely get some help there. As well, Akash.
Thank you.
And from Dustin Echoes. Thank you, Dustin. Better question. Do y'all think Ford quality concerns are enough to stay away from an Expedition and or Ford in general? What a great question to end on.
You know, I get bashed all the time because people think I hate Ford. And I don't necessarily hate Ford. I think Ford has quality issues and has had quality issues for quite some time. We jokingly say they've led the league in recalls for 3 years running, and they're well ahead for leading the league in recalls again this year. So it is an issue for Ford that in honesty they don't really seem to care about, because it doesn't really slow down Ford sales. For people who love Ford are going to buy a Ford regardless of the quality issues that they encounter. So it has, even though it's a publicity issue, at this point, it doesn't seem to be a selling issue or an issue for the buyers. Me personally, And people are going to say, how can you say this, right? Because you drive a Mini, okay? But me personally, I try to stay away from manufacturers that have known quality issues. And I can tell you, in the five Minis that I have either owned or leased, okay, I had one that had to have service work done to it. That was it was more of an engineering issue than a quality issue, in that the water didn't drain properly. The condensation didn't drain properly from the air conditioner, and it created an issue where there was odors in the vehicles, and they found a fix for it. And I mean, literally had to take the whole damn car apart to put in. And when they did, I remember taking a picture of it and saying, okay, this is when they're going to install the rattles, because you have to put the whole damn thing back together. That's the only quasi quality issue I've had. Now, let me preface it by saying the longest I ever drove one was 42,000 miles. And in 3.5 years. And I don't drive 3,000 miles a year now. So I don't really have issues with them.
Lisa Ford. Can't believe I'm saying it, but Lisa Ford, that'd be one way to do it. I don't think they lease great, but Lisa Ford, because then you don't have to worry about it out of warranty.
You know, Ford used to have two-year Ford red carpet leases. That word cheap, absolutely cheap. I don't know what they did with those, but to me, yeah, I mean, if you're concerned about quality, then you'd look at a different brand. If you like Ford and you know that there might be some quality issues, then just deal with it.
Yep, 100%. We've got here from Cloepo. Are you guys going to stream from Puerto Rico? I think that's the plan, at least a couple of the days. I think that'd be really fun. So I'm bringing my stuff so that we can do
it. I can tell you that on Monday the 29th, 2 weeks from today, at this hour, we will be in the middle of our Old San Juan food tour. So it won't be on Monday the 29th that I can, unless we do it on Zach's cell phone from whatever restaurant we're eating in at the time.
We've got here from Art of the Real. Thank you, Art of the Real. How does CarEdge compare to Costco's car buying program? Dad, can you give us an overview of how Costco's car buying program works, both from the customer perspective and when you were a dealer?
When I was a dealer, you paid Costco for the privilege of saying you were part of their program, and you had to agree to discount the car a certain amount, and the price was pretty much the price. I don't know exactly what the program is today. My guess is that the dealers still have to pay to be part of it, which is how Costco makes money off of it, because Costco doesn't sell cars.
Before you go to us, I think another thing with the Costco program is they hand you off to the dealer.
Oh, yes.
So I think the Costco program, if I'm not mistaken, they get compensated. The dealers compensate them, and then they send leads to dealers. And then you go to the dealership and you have to finish your car deal.
Yes.
We have heard myriad horror stories of people who had a pre-negotiated deal that ultimately gets blown up when they go to the dealerships. I think it's really important to understand that relationship. The way that our program's different is we don't make any money from any car dealer. There's no money getting in our hands from a dealership. We do charge you. So there is a fee for our service. We've discounted it for the time being so that it can be more accessible to more people. And we do a pretty good job breaking down exactly what we do. But at the end of the day, you have very minimal interaction with the dealership. And really we're, you know, in your corner the entire time. So take a peek, caredge.com, and then click on it and you can learn more. But the biggest difference is there's not like a pre-negotiated price and then you're sent off as a lead to a dealership. We're scouring the United States for you, negotiating on your behalf, all that fun stuff. So it's pretty cool seeing it come together. And from Cloepo here.
Have a Mofongo and Alcaparilla and a Bacalao. Later, what the hell are those? Are those drinks? Are they some type of what? Cloepo, exactly what? And what day do you think we should? What days do you think we should do the live stream from Puerto Rico? I know the one thing I know for sure is I've checked the weather. It's going to be hot as hell there. Oh my really? God! Oh yeah, in the mid to upper 80s, high humidity every flipping day. Looking forward to sweating my ass off.
I love this from Digital. Any savings you might gain from negotiations will be paid to CarEdge, not worth the $1,500 price. We're currently at $999, so we did lower the price. I think that's a steal. We on average save people nearly $3,000 from initial offer to final price that they paid. To be clear, just do it yourself too. If you don't want us to, just do it yourself. We give you all the tools. No skin off our back. Matt, this is the last one. This is the last one because someone thought that we were just doing a 30-minute stream and didn't go to the bathroom before the stream and now really has to pee.
Would that be you?
That's you, I'm Dad. Good. From Matt.
Yeah.
Do you foresee faster production for Toyota's prime trims anywhere in the near future? I am on a 12 to 18 month wait list for the Prius Prime in Montreal. I hope so, man. They're the most in-demand Toyota products, and they have none of them in the market. We talked to Tyler last week, one of the Toyota dealers, and I don't think there's like a strong pipeline of them coming through.
No. And I believe it's worse in Toyota Canada. So, yeah, you know, but may I say, I love your city of Montreal, and unfortunately I'm not able to attend the Montreal Jazz Festival this year. So I'm going to miss that, but God, what a great city and what a great music festival. It's just classic stuff.
Classic fried foods,
really good. Well, you know, look at me, you know, like 5,000 pounds overweight. God knows there isn't a classic fried food I wouldn't try.
How's your diet going? Final question to Pops. How's your diet going?
I'm doing my best. I've had a banana so far today.
No, I think at your age, Dad, you should starve yourself. I think that's really the way to health and wellness is just stop eating. Have you exercised?
I should just go on an all water diet.
Have you exercised?
I walk around here. I need to go out after this. Because it's like 70 some degrees here today.
Go for a walk, Dad. Come on. It's not just about not eating. You got to exercise.
Well, you're keeping me on this damn show for an extra 21 minutes today. I mean, geez, Louise.
We'll be back tomorrow.
You know, I would have exercised 20 minutes already.
Get the hell out of here. No, you wouldn't have. This is not your blocker to taking a walk. You live at the beach. Go for a walk at the boardwalk.
Okay.
All right. I love you, Dad. Thank you, everyone, for being here with us. We'll be back tomorrow, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time. I'm going to run to the men's room and then grab my lunch. I hope everyone enjoys their day. Thank you, Pop.
Thank you, handsome. Love you as well. I'll see you tomorrow.